Hello and welcome back to the My First Marathon podcast, where we interview runners in all stages of their running careers about their first marathon experiences to prove to you that anyone can run a marathon. My name is Taylor, and on today's episode, we talk to a runner with 8 marathons and 13 years of running under her belt. She's heavily involved in the Cape Cod marathon community, and we break down the differences between running your local marathons versus running world majors as she chases her 6 stars. Without further ado, I'm going to let her tell her stories, so let's jump right in. Please welcome Juliana. Juliana, thank you so much for coming on the podcast this weekend. How's your weekend going so far?
I mean, it's going good, you know? I actually did my long run this morning, which was a nice time. Not training for anything yet, will be. But, you know, just nice to get outside.
Yeah, for sure. What do they say? That your long run is just the longest run of the week. So whether you're training for something or not, that's what it is.
Yeah. That by definition and by words, yes, that would be correct.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, I'm excited to break down your experience here. We were just talking a little bit, but 13 years of running, 8 marathons sprinkled in throughout those 13 years. So you've got quite an experience under your belt so far. But I want to just kind of start from the beginning. How did we get involved in this crazy world in the first place?
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, like, if we're going to go like way back, I was never like athletic growing up. I didn't do track. I didn't do like cross country. I never did anything. I actually started running my senior year in high school because my best friend at the time, Lydia, was like, Juliana, wouldn't it be crazy if we ran a mile every day after school? I was like, Lydia, that would be insane. Let's do it. And so that is kind of the origin story of that, combined with me and my mom doing the couch to 5K program right after that in a good pair of $9 Payless shoes. You know, I was living that really educated run of life at that point in time.
Love it.
So I did that. And then I kind of just like ran recreationally through college just to stay in shape more or less. And then I ended up moving down to Richmond, Virginia. I'm from Massachusetts. I do live in Massachusetts. I live on Cape Cod currently. It's a fun time. But I took a job and I moved down to Richmond, Virginia. And they have a pretty good running community in Richmond. I don't know if you've ever run any of their races there, but
I haven't.
I will say every race that I ran down there, we give a 10 out of 10. It was a nice time.
Awesome. So
I got kind of involved with that. And then I was talking to some people at work and I had this older woman I worked with, Karen, who I think at the time was like 65 maybe, and didn't really present or look or act like anyone who you would ever think would run any kind of distance. And we were having a conversation at one day and she's like, yeah, I run the Richmond Half Marathon every year. I was like, what?
Oh, wow. She's good like, for her.
She's like, yeah, I do it every year. Me and my daughter, we do it every year. I'm like, okay. And because I've been thinking about doing the Richmond Half Marathon. And after Karen said that, I was like, Karen, you are my inspiration. If Karen can do it, then we can do it. And yeah. I ran that and I was like, I remember being at mile 11 and having the cramp of what I thought was my life, and like thinking I was never going to finish this race. And like, spoiler alert, that was not the worst cramp Juliana has ever had or the worst race I've ever had in any capacity. But sure. At the time, you know, in perspective. And so I finished that and then I ended up moving back up to Massachusetts to Falmouth, where I currently reside. And we have a very vibrant running community here in Falmouth. I didn't know that when I moved up here, but I ran one of the local races called the Seagull 6, which if you would like a nice butt kicking, you go run that race. It's 6 miles. It's super hilly. And it is probably the most competitive local race that we have. Like we have people who blast through that race. And what would that be? Like a 4:30 to like 5 minute mile pace.
Cause Dang. We have some
like, yeah, no, we have some fast people who run.
Sure. And
that's not me. I do not run that fast. Do not think that I do because I do not. But ran that, had my butt served to me, and said, oh boy, sign me up for some more of this.
Yeah. So is that really when you got hooked? Was after that race in terms of like the racing experience?
It was more in the fact that in 2017, when I moved to Falmouth, I signed up because, again, I'd run the Richmond Half Marathon. I was like, I would like to run the Cape Cod Half Marathon because the Cape Cod Marathon weekend now it's a little bit more robust, but at that point it was a half marathon on the Saturday and the full marathon on the Sunday, which is still part of that weekend. But we have a 5K, a relay, a kids race, the Chowder Challenge, which is the full marathon and the half marathon back-to-back days, which I've done twice. Thank you so much.
Awesome.
Only for the truly crazy out there. But I ran that, and I also did a leg of the relay, which you split the marathon up into different parts. I had like a 7-mile leg. And I remember running next to the people, because you're running at the same time as the marathon with the marathon people, having run the half marathon the day before. And I was just so inspired by the people I was running next to that I was just like, I need to, and I'm someone who I'm never satisfied with like the end result. I'm like, I need to do it again and again. Yeah. And like, I can do better next time. And so I ended up running the half and then that. And I was like, I will run the full marathon next year, which leads us to my first marathon ever, which was the Cape Cod Marathon.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So had a couple races in between from when you were kind of starting and had the relationship through college and everything, dipped your toes in, and then wrapped your head around the marathon.
Yeah. I didn't directly go. It's been a pretty stepwise like process. It's been like the 5Ks and 10Ks and then like dipping into the half. And then being like, that's not really that's like the furthest I want to go. And then not being satisfied. And then like kind of thinking about dipping into the full and then dipping into the full. And then the year after that, dipping into the Chowder Challenge, you know? And
just and never ending goals.
Yeah, just kind of like stepwise and turning the dial up ever so slightly. I get up and up and up and up and up and up.
And yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of where it's been the last couple. Well, like 8 years now at this point, so
for sure. Yeah, and then working up that way, you come into a marathon block with a little bit more of a base than somebody who's starting from like couch to marathon. So
yeah,
coming in with that base, like what were you looking into in terms of training at that point for the first marathon?
I had just wanted to incrementally build up. I've always been the person, like in my training, I've never had a coach. And this is not necessarily me saying that anyone else should do this, but my strategy has always been pretty much exactly what we just said, just incrementally building things up. When I was training for my marathon, I broke down the weeks I had between the race and where I was. And I pretty much was like, okay, my longest long run right now is about like 11 miles, like when I was training for the half. So next week, I want to do 11 and a half. And then the week after that, I'm going to do 12, and then I'm going to do 12 and a half, and then I'm going to do 13, and just kind of literally just building it up like a half a mile a week at a time.
Yeah.
So like my body wasn't taking on really like that much more volume each week. But before I knew it, I was at like consistently like 15 to 16 miles a week as my long run. And then I was just kind of like amping it up like every so often. And then what I adopted in my first marathon training cycle, which I kind of took into like 3 or 4 more marathons afterwards, which was more of a mental thing for me than it was anything else, which is what I like to call the run to the death, which was running 26.2 miles on your own, just running 26.2 miles as a training run, essentially.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a mental battle for sure.
Yeah, I did that for my first 4 marathons that I did because my biggest thing is because I have a lot of like chronic health issues. I don't trust my body. It is bonkers bananas to me that people go out there. And I just had this conversation with my friend the other day and they fully trust that their body is going to take them to the end of a race.
Mm.
I do not trust my body. I have what is called ankylosing spondylitis, which I like to call fancy arthritis, and so many other weird health conditions that I'm just like, I don't know, like anything could happen at any point in time where like all
sure.
things like that have happened. Luckily not like during major moments or races, but like in training runs where like all of a sudden my body just like blows up and I'm just like, well, I guess that's the end of that now, isn't it? And like just mentally, I don't trust my body to take me that far. And so for me being able to do that distance and let's just, oh, Jesus Christ. Like I remember like when I did my first run to the death as part of this Cape Cod Marathon training cycle. Wow. That last 10K was horrendous. Like it was so terrible. I got back, I was like, what are legs, what is feeling, what are feet? I don't know anymore. So that was an interesting experience to say the least, but that being said, it definitely did prepare me mentally and physically for the actual race. But I'm not recommending that everyone do that. That was just me.
So, I'm actually excited to hear about this perspective because I've never actually, like, everybody that I've spoken to have gone up to like the 22 or 20 mile mark, maybe 22 like max. And then they, like you said, they just kind of trust that everything's going to happen from there. But I could see like having like medical issues where that would be really hard mentally to just trust yourself to push yourself for the last 4 miles, not knowing what's going to happen. When you run those 26 mile training runs by yourself, when it goes well, how does it impact you negatively? And then you said, like, when it doesn't go so well, how does that impact you negatively? I'm so curious.
I mean, I'm one who, regardless if I like it or not, I tend to bounce back pretty quickly. Like, I let my feelings come to me and I'm like sad and like I just process through them, whatever. But
yeah,
give me a day and I pretty much have come up with a whole new plan of like, I've reassessed the situation. I've like broken it down, be like, okay, this is what went bad, this is what went good. This is what I need to do next time. Like, I'm very analytical in that way where I just came back at it and I was like, this is exactly what happened. This is exactly what I'm going to execute next time. Like, it might not work perfectly, but I know that there are like certain points here where I truly screwed up and I know exactly how I can rectify these certain points. And like, I've just kind of taken that mentality. It's kind of something I carry with me throughout life. But even with my marathon racing throughout the years, it's just something that I take each race as a learning experience and each training run as a learning experience. And regardless if it's like shoe choice or if it's fueling or if it's clothing that I wore. I mean, even part of my first marathon training cycle was learning in the middle of a training run that like, oh yeah, if you go out for like 2 or 3 hours wearing the wrong pair of shorts, you will chafe in the middle of your back, Julia.
Yeah, it's brutal too.
And it was painful. And I was like, oh no. That's when we learned that KT tape, if you need to secure a bandage to yourself, you put the Band-Aid on and then you put KT tape over it and that Band-Aid is going absolutely freaking nowhere.
Yeah.
It's a great hack.
Yeah.
It works really good for toe blisters too. You KT tape that bandage, put a little bit of gauze or a Band-Aid under there, and you KT tape that bad boy on. You're good.
Not going anywhere. Yeah,
not
that's
anywhere.
Strong.
I love that. For sure. I live and die by KT tape. It's kind of like the duct tape of the running world.
It is. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
No, that's super interesting. So like, so then you know exactly what you need to change for the next time that you go out. Your first marathon, when you ran that 26 mile run, was there anything that happened on that run where you had to like make an immediate correction before the race?
Well, I mean, first thing I did was I took a hydration bladder out there for the first time and I realized immediately that I hate the sloshing noise of the hydration bladder.
I agree.
I was like, this is not for me. This is not my calling in life. And yeah, I've never used a hydration pack since. And honestly, I don't regret it. And one of my good friends, Ben, is an ultra marathon runner and a certified pack boy. He loves a pack.
Yeah.
And, we've had the conversation that I probably will need to start doing a pack, but I might just do the ones that have the water bottles right here because the sloshing noise of the hydration bladder is just like, ugh, to me, I can't do it.
Yeah.
But I learned that. I learned that I needed more salt. I learned that I probably needed different shoes. I think that was one of the runs where I wore a new pair of shorts or something. And yeah, I just, it was just not great when it came to a lot of things. But I mean, the biggest takeaway I had was I was just so happy that I bonked by myself and not in front of an audience.
Sure.
That was just kind of a nice thing for me to realize that, like, and also like I don't like to have bad training runs, you know, but I know that at least one of my training runs every cycle is going to be like an absolute hellscape, regardless if it's because of weather, if it's because of like fueling, if it's because of hydration, if it's because of like injury, like something is going to be an absolute hellscape. Running marathons has taught me that much. It's like, you will have high and low moments. And one of your long runs is going to be one of those runs where you get on the struggle bus and you never get off. You ride it all the way to the last stop. It's just like beep, 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 beep. And you just keep on taking the struggle bus till you get to the finish line.
Yeah.
It just never gets easier. And you never settle in, and it just is what it is. And that's, I like to keep those in my back pocket too, because then when I'm having a run when it's like not ideal, but it's not definitely not like a taking the struggle bus to the last stop all the way run, I can take that and remember, like, oh yeah, it's still not as bad as it was on that run, like wherever. Like, I always like to keep my first Boston Marathon in my back pocket now because, oh baby, was that a bad race? That was bad.
Yeah.
So. And there are other like moments too that I keep in my back pocket. So that definitely taught me, like, it gave me that mental spot too to be like, it's not as bad as this. Keep going, Juliana. Like, sure. You can do it. You can do that. You can do this. Like, just go.
Yeah, I think that's a great perspective because, like you said, we all have those terrible training runs. I think anybody who's trained for any race can attest to that. But yeah, having that threshold of like, no, that was bad. Yeah, that was bad. And then everything else has to be up from here. And if something else is worse from there, then you have a new threshold for bad. And then you keep building up from there. No, I think that's a great perspective to look at it. Yeah. And some people get so caught up on the one bad training run. Oh, I had one bad training run. I can't run the marathon. But I think you can attest, many runners can attest to the fact that, that's just not true. You're going to still be able to do it for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. For the most part, you should be able to get through it. It more or less is just the wholeness of your training as opposed to each individual run.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. So you had the 26 mile run. That was your peak. Did you do a sort of like a taper from there? Or what did it look like after you ran that big run?
I tapered, I think, like 2 weeks, maybe down to like 20 and then 15, which is usually my preference. I don't like to go dip below 15 because like 15, somewhere between 14 and 16 is like my normal baseline. If my body's doing okay for like a long run on the weekends, like this morning I did like 14. And like I'm doing the 26-point true marathon in the spring. I don't know if you've heard of that one.
I just saw it today, actually. Yeah. I follow Herm. I don't know if you. He posted about it today. I was like, oh, that looks really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I have some friends who ran it last year. And it's obviously more local to me because I live in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And yeah, it looked really awesome. And everyone who ran it was like, yeah, it was like a nice, fun time. And as someone whose favorite race and first race was the Cape Cod Marathon, I love a good well-run local race, and I love that small town vibe. I also like the bigger races too, but they're two different animals, you know.
Totally. Yeah.
And having just run, I mean, Clarence Tomorrow was nice and small, which was nice, but my two marathons before that were Tokyo and New York. And I'm running Berlin in the fall, so you know, maybe we keep it a little bit more cash for the spring marathon.
Cool. Well, I definitely want to get to some of those majors for sure, because I agree, they're two different beasts, the local races versus the major marathons. But yeah, for this first one, so we got to race day, obviously.
Yeah.
We tapered for a couple weeks and got to race day. You obviously didn't have to travel very far because you're local to the area.
I literally walked down the street. I live down the street from perfect. The finish line. Yeah.
That's perfect. So what about, you've talked about the Cape Cod Marathon a couple of times where it's your favorite race. So what about Cape Cod makes it so awesome?
I think the thing that makes Cape Cod amazing is the community. And this is something that, one, I've learned as currently now the social media manager and also the race announcer and low-key like the third person in command at the Cape Cod Marathon currently, which is a role that I've had now for about like 5 years. Pretty much like the year after I ran the marathon, they were looking for someone to do social media and they were like, Juliana, you a youngin'. You can do this. I was like, indeed I can. And so just been with Jack and Kathy since then, our administrator and our race director, who are great. But the community is what makes this race special. The entire, I kid you not, the entire town of Falmouth comes out for this race. We have an ungodly number for such a small town. Like, we have an ungodly number of volunteers that come out. And man, the water stops to our finish line. Every single sports team in town is in charge of something. We have like all the local groups, like the Rotary Club, the teachers, like a lot of the schools have sent a group of teachers out to do stuff. I was just talking to the Farming Falmouth people this morning about getting involved with us too. So like literally the entire community comes out and you feel it. The number one feedback I get from people, as some person who gets like the raw comments on the social media, the unfiltered comments, is I feel like I was adopted into a family for the weekend.
And
that's how I felt when I ran it the first time. And I had like just moved to Falmouth. I'd been there like a little over a year. And I remember there are a few moments that stick with me. I remember I was volunteering at the information table for the marathon the day before, on the Saturday. And I was talking to this woman who I think at the time she was in like her 70s. And Falmouth is just like very steeped in running, like very, very deeply steeped in running. And we were talking and she's like wicked quirky and funny. And she's telling me, she's like, yeah, I run the marathon every year. I looked at her. I was like, every year? She's like, yeah, every year. since it started. And wow. That was like, we're on like, you're like 42 or something like that. And actually it probably said, oh, 40, 41. I'm like, I have the race medal in front of me, which also is a coaster.
Oh, I love that. That's a great idea. Oh my gosh. Yeah,
it's a coaster.
I don't know why more people don't do that.
And this part is Velcro. So you can take it off and you can use it as a coaster.
Oh, it's that's a nice so time. Smart. I love that.
You know, we be creative over here. Oh, yeah. Thank God. But I was just like so stunned because I had like big imposter syndrome. And like, even with that 26.2 mile run under my belt, I remember also just texting my friend Emily at the time who had run New York. She had run a bunch of other marathons. And I just remember texting her, like being like, how do you do this? Like mentally, how do you deal with marathon training? I don't understand. I'm so stressed. I can't do this. This is just so terrible. I don't understand like how people do this on a regular basis. Flash forward to now, which I'm like, I run marathons for fun.
Famous last words. Yeah.
Yeah. But I just remember being so stressed and so up in my head about things. And then hearing this woman who's like in her 70s, just like flippantly be like, yeah, I do it every year. She was the Karen again for me, who like, I was like, if this woman can do it, Juliana, get your shit together. Come on, my friend, get it together. Just do it. And so I did, and I had a really great time. I mean, there were definitely some ups and lows, and like, I can talk through the marathon if you like, you know,
yeah,
give a like overview of it. So essentially I live down the street, so I walk there, which is a nice time. I highly recommend anyone who runs their first marathon to do it at a smaller local marathon. That is my recommendation, just because, as you know, from running bigger marathons, getting to the starting line is, shall we say, a production.
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a production and a half getting to like, say, Chicago, especially like New York. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Boston. Oh, my God. Getting to this finish line, the starting line of those marathons is a whole race in itself. So don't do that to yourself on your first one. You'll be stressed out enough already. Go do a local marathon where you can stay like a maximum of like a half a mile from the finish line and just walk to and from where you're staying. Just do that. It's going to be so much easier.
Yeah.
And there's no expo to deal with for most of these faces, or it's like a low key expo and number pickup is super easy. Just do that. Don't stress yourself out. And so I got to the finish, the starting line. I was like super nervous. There are actually some pictures of me. I'll have to find them, where I'm just like standing there. Like, and when I get really nervous, I either talk to someone, which I was talking to my friend Sarah, or my eyes get really big and I'm just like staring there, like looking ahead. My mom has pictures of me from that. I'm just like,
oh, world.
Yeah. So we have the relays that happens with the full marathon. And so I knew the first 3 miles, my friend Sarah was running the first leg of the relay with, and she was going to be with me for the first 3 miles. And then I was kind of on my own from there, as opposed to like to knowing if I was going to have anyone to run with. And so Sarah and I are running and we get to like mile 2-ish. And all of a sudden behind me, I hear this voice that I don't recognize say, Juliana, Juliana Coughlin. And I'm like, hello, random voice from behind me. And I turn around and it's my now friend, then stranger, Mike Falcone. And Mike is, at this point, I've been very active in the Falmouth running community. I go to like the group runs. I've been doing like all the local races. I've actually won a few of them. Don't kid yourself. I'm not that fast. Like, these are local races, my friends. Like, you know, like I ran one of the races, my PR for the 5Ks, like it says 1953, and that won the race. If you run like any bigger,
that's pretty good.
Yeah, but if you run any other bigger race, like that's not even going to get you into the top 10.
But that's what the local races are for. That those are the confidence boosters for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So like people knew of me, you know, people that I didn't know. And so I turn around and he's like, oh, I know you from the Falmouth Running Club. Like, I've seen you at all the races. And here's the thing with Mike and I. Neither one of us knows how to shut up. We don't. We both have ADHD. We both do not know how to shut up. So from that point on, like Sarah went on and finished her leg of the relay. And Mike and I ended up talking and running the entire rest of the race together. I remember passing my mom and my sisters at certain points and they were like, who is that guy with you? I was like, oh, that's my new buddy, Mike. And we just end up talking the whole time. And I correct myself. I did lose him at like mile 21, I think 21 or 22, as we were coming back out of Woods Hole. Because the entire time, and this gets back to Juliana having weird health conditions, my stomach is sloshing, and sometimes it does that. I did that hardcore at the Clarence Marathon, and you can, like, actively hear it, like, outside of my body. Maybe that's why I don't like the bladder. Could be it. Because I already kind of deal with that sometimes. But sometimes you can, like, actively hear my stomach sloshing, and that'll sometimes lead to, like, some diarrhea, you know. And so my stomach was not feeling good the entire time, but, like, I can kind of negate that if I distract myself. Like, it's fine. It got to, like, that, like, mile 21, 22, and, like, I was like, I need to peel off and use a porta potty. So your girl Juliana here played porta potty hopscotch for a couple of miles.
Oh, no.
And I was like, I don't know if this race is over for me or not. And I kind of got to, I think it was then, I'm thinking on about the course that I ran on, which is not the current course. We've revised it. So Ned ran on a different course than I ran my first marathon on, because it's a different, we've changed it since 2018. But I think it was mile 24 when you come back out onto the beach on the old course. And I hit there and I was like, okay, my stomach feels okay now. And I remember coming around and hitting mile 25, and there used to be a clock right at mile 25, and seeing that it said like 3:30 something.
Dang.
And I was like, I was so excited. I was like, even if I walk this in, I can finish it under 4 hours.
Yeah, that's great.
I was just so excited because I didn't have any time goals for myself, but I knew that under 4 hours was like a pretty good time, just like generally speaking for most people who are not like Olympic athletes. And so I was, there's a picture from me like when I'm passing the clock where I'm like, ah! I'm like jumping in there. I'm like, I look so excited.
Yeah.
And I remember just coming around the finish line and crossing the finish line and just seeing all my friends. And Mike actually finished like right after me. He ended up just pulling back a little. I lost him in one of my porta potty hopscotch adventures, and just like crying because, you know, I'm very emotional. I have a lot of feelings. When I see people finishing marathons, I cry. This is kind of a problem when I announce the Cape Cod Marathon, because I cry at least a minimum of 5 times every time I announce it, because I just get so emotional and like so moved by things. And like when I was watching the Olympic trials, I was bawling.
Oh, I was in the same boat. Yeah.
Bawling.
It's so emotional.
Yeah. And like, I started crying as I was crossing the finish line. I was so proud of myself. And I finished and ended up having to go back into the port probably for a little bit longer after that. But, you know, it was fine. I was very proud of myself. We had a nice time. I think one of the things that my biggest takeaways from that first marathon, besides that, like, yes, Juliana, you can do it. And like, things might be hard, but you got it. And also we have Mike as a friend now. Mike and I still run marathons together. It's a nice time. Shout out to Mike Foco. Love you. But I think the things that I learned from it was patience. Cause before I started marathon running, I was so impatient. Like I had no patience. And I very much so learned during my marathon training that like, you can only run the mile you're in, which is actually, I have it tattooed on my arm right there.
I love it.
That's my mom's handwriting.
Yeah.
But sometimes my arm is smarter than my brain, but that's why it's there. You know, you can only run the mile you're in. Cause I remember there was one run where I had some foot pain and I was like, you can't finish the run, Juliana, unless like, you can't be in the mile ahead. You can't be in that moment. You can't be in the moment before this. Like you only can be here. So just freaking accept it and stop being so freaking just like impatient. Just stop it. And I just had to teach myself patience of being like, nope, we're here. That's it. You can only be here. Chill. Just be here, you know?
Yeah.
And that was a really big thing for me. So I'd like to credit my first marathon to teaching me patience. And I like to credit all the other marathons after that for reinforcing that in different manners and ways.
Sure. Marathoning certainly has a way of reminding you of the lessons that you learn. That's for sure.
Yeah. No, I get what I actually do before my marathons now is I write out my training plan and I sit down or wherever I am, and I out loud say to myself, Juliana, you will have your ass handed to you multiple times over the course of this marathon training cycle, and it's okay. And I just say that out loud, and I'm like, I feel better now, you know?
Yeah.
So, but the other thing that it taught me was that the only person you have to impress is yourself.
I love that.
Yeah, because I mean, I definitely was someone who was seeking a lot more external validation before that than I am now, whereas now I'm more or less just fully just like, I do things that make me happy. And that's definitely been a progression, you know, through therapy, through marathon running, through just other things in life, for getting older, you know, as you do being an elderly 31-year-old like I am. But definitely, I crossed that finish line and I was so proud of myself. It was really, we had a really nice moment too at our finish line this year for one of our local runners, Alex, who ran the Chowder Challenge, which again is the half and the full back-to-back days.
Yeah.
And this is her first year doing it. And just because like she's a really big part of our family's running community here. So I had to run to the bathroom, but I waited until she crossed. So I was like, I will be announcing Alex coming across the finish line. She's going to get like the biggest like scream ever from us. And so she crossed the finish line. And on the other side were three of our other running club members, Dory, Kathy, and Tasha. And they were waiting for her with fireball shots and like the biggest hug ever. We have the, I'll have to find the pictures for you, but we have the cutest pictures of them hugging her in like this giant group hug of being like, you did it! And everyone crying and just being so proud of her. I was like, this is why we're here.
Yes.
This is a nice time.
Yeah, the running community is amazing. And especially like you said, the local races are where the major marathons, everything's on a very public stage. So you see more of those moments on social media, but like the local races, I feel like I've teared up more at a local race than I have watching a major marathon, because these people are like, you don't have the crowd support you have at a major marathon. So you're, a lot of this you're doing just off sheer willpower. Mm-hmm. And then too, you have like your local community around you. Like the run club comes out, your family comes out, you have your little squad around you. It's so fun.
Yeah. And like, you can actually see people if they want to cheer for you too. Like you do have, if your local community does want to cheer for you, they can go to multiple spots on the course and cheer for you and easily get to the finish line. Like, I mean, technically my family was at the finish line of the Boston Marathon the two times that I finished it. I didn't see them though, because it's so crowded there. You never see them. But like my friends, when they've been at the end of my marathons, when I've seen them, or even the race I just ran last Sunday, we have like a Falmouth in the fall, which is like the Falmouth River race steps in the fall. Go figure. And it's just like smaller, but I crossed the finish line. It's funny because I heard people cheering for me. I was crossing the finish line and I knew the race announcer. And I was like, yeah, that's right, Ben, you announced my name. And I gave him like a shout out. It was fun. But someone got a video of me coming through. It's one of my friends at the finish line. But like 20 people behind them like screamed my name because they all knew me. But that's what you want. Like, it's just like the local people. You come through. And like when I announced the finish line at the Cape Cod Marathon, if I know you, you get announced as a local legend. Like, that's just a baseline. That's a standard. Like, you are a local legend and you get a shout out. The funniest one was this year was my friend Ben, who again is the ultra marathon runner who's never run a road marathon before, even though he's run trail ultra marathons.
Yeah.
And so I call him Benjamin. And so I told him that I was going to announce him from all the way down the end of the chute and yell, Benjamin. And you bet I did. I got it on video too.
I love
it. It's very funny. It's a fun time.
I love it.
Things like that where, and like people will walk up to me at the end of the marathon. They'll be like, can you announce that it's my friend's birthday? Or like my daughter's coming down the chute right there. It's like, she just recovered from cancer. Like she's like, this is her first marathon ever. And we're so proud of her. I'm like, you betcha. I got it. Like, just tell me who her name is and what her number is. And I can make that happen.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Yeah. You don't get that at the majors. And I think that's one of the biggest differences. But since you've ran some local races and then you've ran these big major marathons, I'll ask first, are you going for a six star? Is six stars, is that the end goal?
Yeah.
How many do you have right now?
I'm on four. So okay,
you're getting there. Yeah.
I would have run, honestly, I was going to run London this spring as my, and have Berlin be my sixth in the fall. Mm-hmm. But my sister's wedding's the day before the London Marathon. I will say, Katie's never going to listen to this podcast anyway. Katie, your wedding is really throwing a wrench in a lot of my plans this year. Like, it's been conveniently on a lot of the days where I'm like, I would like to do something, or like, I have something to do that day. Yeah. And she has something related to her wedding on that day. I'm like, oh, God, damn it. So
you didn't check the world major marathon schedule before you scheduled your wedding? Like, what's going on?
I mean, you know I'm going for the six stars, Katie. Come on.
Right?
Shape it up. Get yourself in shape. But I'm running Berlin with Team for Kids, which is the premier charity for the New York City Marathon and the New York Roadrunners.
Yeah.
And I ran New York with them in 2023. And what a fantastic group of humans. I love them. They're great. And so when I ran Tokyo, I actually ran it on a lottery entry, which I know, wild, right?
Yeah, wow, but, that is lucky. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was a scam email when I got it because it
I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, too, with all the Tokyo, like any email that I got from someone from Japan in that whole correspondence and me booking things and everything, they don't use like graphics or anything. It's just like text. Mm. And a lot of the things, they keep it to the bare minimum. They're very organized. And so it looked like a scam email. And so I almost accidentally deleted it. And then I looked it up and I was like, oh no, this is legit.
Yeah, and this is my entry. I need to save this.
Yeah. Well, and they only let you know like 4 months before as right. well, too. So I was like literally getting ready to run New York and then had to decide within like a week and a half, I think they gave you, if I wanted to run Tokyo at the end, at the beginning of March. And I was like, I guess.
Yeah, might as well.
Yeah,
got the opportunity.
Like, I was like, well, I guess we're planning a Tokyo trip and a Japan trip. I've never been to Japan before in my life, but you know what? We are going to plan a trip, and I will say it went very well, and I had a nice time.
Cool. So,
and I can't wait to go back to Japan. I loved it. It was great.
Yeah, I would love to go to Japan, but that's incredible that you pulled lottery for Tokyo. I feel like that's the hardest one to get into, most people say. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I was assuming I was gonna just keep putting my name into the lottery until I turned like 60, and then I was probably sure. gonna run it then, and that was gonna yeah. be the end of it. But the point is that the Team for Kids has a team that you can also fundraise to run for Tokyo, which now in retrospect is a way that I could have got in sooner. And if you're looking to get in, you hit me up. You let me know. That's a race on your bucket list. We can set you up with Team for Kids people. But they're great. And I got to, even though I wasn't running with them, I got to be in a little like Facebook group and chat with all my buddies that I had met in New York earlier. Cool. And like, we were all there for each other. And I saw a bunch of them when I was running too, because we were all wearing our Team for Kids singlets. And like, I remember Tasha was, and Tara, I passed them on the course and they yelled at me, they're just like in Tokyo. It was so cool.
So cool.
Like my people that I met at the New York City Marathon, like here they are again. It's a nice time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I love it. I'm excited to be running Berlin. But yeah, it's a different monster. Like running a major sure. marathon is way different than it is running a local marathon.
Yeah, when you're approaching those training cycles for those major marathons versus the local ones, like what do you go in mentally thinking that you're going to do differently?
I mean, a lot of it, honestly, I'm more at this point, because this is not my first rodeo, I look at the course and then I'm honestly more stressed out by like the travel to get there for the most part. Like Berlin, I was looking at flights the other night because I had my accommodations booked, because, you know, like usually it's the accommodations because everyone's coming from different places. So the flights aren't terrible, like getting flight availability, but everyone's staying in the same place. So you might have like, and Berlin's one of those big ones too, where there's like over 50,000 people running it. So you might have 50,000 people coming from all over the globe, flying on different flights, coming in from different places, but we're all staying in that one spot. So finding housing is the first thing that I always do. I advise people, if you're going to run a major marathon and you know you're going to do it, you have your entry, as soon as you physically can, you book your housing at least a year in advance, if you can do that. That is my recommendation. Having run marathons at the four of the world majors, and other marathons as well too, book your accommodations as far out in advance as you can.
Sure.
They will either get ridiculously expensive or there will be none at all. So that is my recommendation. But just like the travel is the worst thing for me at this point, because I'll look at the course, and obviously with these major marathons, people will tell you, they're like, oh yeah, New York is hilly, like Chicago is flat, Tokyo is flat, there's a lot out and back. So I'll just kind of gather some general information. Like with New York, I made sure I did enough hills. And like Tokyo, we have a bike path here. I pretty much did all my runs on this flat bike path that we have, because it's a lot of flat and it's a lot of out and backs. And so I was like, you know what, we'll do some flat out and backs, and we got to mentally and physically prepare ourselves for that. But like beyond that, I didn't really look at the course. And some people prefer to look more at things. Again, my friend Ben, who ran the full Cape Cod Marathon this year, looked at the course video that we just made this year 2 days before he ran it and was like, oh, I didn't know this is what the terrain looked like or anything. I was like, Ben, really? Like, you just took this to a whole nother level of just like naivete. But that being said, like some people like study the course, some people don't. But for me, I get more stressed, like especially with Tokyo, because it's like a 16-hour plane flight.
Yeah, it's out there for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. It was wild. I've never spent that much time on a plane. So, yeah. That's the main thing keeping me from going back to Tokyo. I was like, I don't know if I want to spend 16 hours on a plane or not. And then they just added Sydney on now, too.
I saw that.
Yep. Yeah. Which is exciting and fun because it gives me another place to travel. Because what this has more or less turned into the last like 3 or 4 years has been like, Juliana has a predetermined place she will be going on a vacation this year.
Yeah, so. Do you try to do, like, I mean, major marathons, those obviously, when you get in, you do it. Like, you don't have a choice, you know? Yeah, but yeah. When you're planning your year, ideally, are you usually, like, one marathon a year, two marathons a year? Like, what's usually your goal?
I usually do a spring and a fall marathon.
Okay.
And then depending on, like, what is going on, like my sister's wedding, or say what I'm fundraising for, or say like the Tokyo Marathon kind of just popping up. Like I was planning on maybe running New York City with Team for Kids again in this current fall, past now fall season. But because all of a sudden I had the Tokyo Marathon and a whole Tokyo trip that I was then paying for, I was like, you know, I don't think we can't do that and then bounce back and fundraise and then also pay for another trip there. And I was just like, that's just too much in 1 year for yeah. me personally. I know some people do it, but for me, I was just like, that's not for me. But yeah, I prefer to have a spring marathon and a fall marathon. And currently I've been doing like one world major per year, pretty much at a pretty consistent pace. Yeah. Cause I had Tokyo was 2024. Boston, I did 2019 and 2021. New York was 2023 and Chicago was 2022. So, yeah, just kind of cool. Banging them out, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I know you said kind of in the beginning, well, I guess I'll ask maybe more generally, like you ran all these major marathons. I know you said you yeah. ran Boston a couple of times. Yeah. What has been your best experience with a world major and what's been maybe a not so awesome experience with a world major?
I will say my best experience definitely was New York. A lot of that comes from the fact that I did run with Team for Kids and Team for Kids is their premier charity. So you do get babied. You do get VIP. Your own. Yeah. You get VIP. You get your own personal ferry to Staten Island where the coaches are there and it's heated and it's very nice. And they just baby you the whole way through. You get your own personal starting tent that's heated. I didn't wait in a single porta potty line the entire time.
Oh, that's worth it. Just which is period.
Yeah, anytime I run New York, I will be running it this way again. You get your own, like, the starting waves are just, you get your own starting waves. So you start with all the other Team for Kids people who are, like, kind of within your pace range. And then when you finish, because I know with New York, have you done New York? I don't know if you've done New
York. I haven't. Okay. I haven't.
So apparently, I wouldn't know this because I'm privileged. Thank you so much. Apparently, when you finish New York, you just keep walking and walking and walking up, 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 up and around Central Park.
I did see the videos of that this year, of like all the orange hoods of people just like shuffling along. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So after you cross the finish line and like get your little goodie bag of treats, there are people waiting for you from Team for Kids to escort you pretty much to where the elite athletes are. And there's a Team for Kids tent that's right there that has personal porta potties, refreshments, changing tents, like a backdrop to take selfies and pictures in front of. And like there are people waiting there with Team for Kids signs. Each of them is assigned to like bringing one person one by one back to the tent. And so like, I had someone like wrap my arm around me and be like, oh, you did such a good job, Julia. Like making sure I was like literally treating me like I was an elite athlete. I was like,
oh, I love
the
it.
Next time.
Yeah, I love that. So how did I'm sorry.
I wouldn't know the life of the peons at the New York City Marathon.
Yeah. And I forget if you said, but how did you get involved with Team for Kids? Did you just apply for charity and that was the one that you had? Chose, I guess.
So I was looking for ways to run the New York City Marathon, like for charity, because that's one of the ones where if you live in New York City, you can do the 9+1 program, which I don't live in New York City, so that wasn't going to happen. You can run extremely fast, like bananas crazy fast, and then you can do that. You can do the lottery, which I had tried to get in for, or you can do a charity. And so I knew the charity amounts that you had to fundraise were significantly less than that for Boston. And so I was like, let me just look and see what charities. And like, I've only had, before that point, I had only had experience with like kind of looking into charities for Boston, which both of the times I've run Boston were not for charity. They were through my local running club. If you live in Massachusetts, more than likely your local running club has at least one or two bibs that they get to divvy out to members every year to the Boston Marathon. It keeps the local running community involved in the Boston Marathon. You looked and like this one had, at the time it was like 2,600 or something that you had to fundraise over the course of a full year. They give you a full year to fundraise for it. I was like, that seems approachable. And so I went online. I was like, let me just put my name in here and let me wait and see. Because with Boston, a lot of the times what you have to do for the charities is you put in to a application to be a charity fundraiser, never mind to like actually start raising money. You're like, I would like to fundraise for this company, and you write like a little essay, and then they choose people to fundraise for them after the fact with that. I put my name into Team for Kids expecting that, and they were like, you're in. I was like, wait, what?
You're like, all right, time to go raise some money.
They're like, that's it, you're in, you signed your name up, and here you are, you're in. I was like, oh, okay. And I mean, the really nice thing about the Team for Kids people is, one, they're an amazingly fabulous group of human beings, and I give them a 20 out of 10 stars. They're super kind. And as soon as you prove that you can fundraise for one of their races, they will literally like accept you and suck you up into any other race you want to fundraise for.
That's cool.
So like Berlin, I got in like three sets. I was like, oh, I got to sign up for Berlin. And I literally was like, boop, boop. And they're like, you're in. And I was like, great.
That's cool.
And So it's a really great group of people. And yeah, so that's how, if anyone wants any more information on that, I'm more than happy to give you the information. The fundraising right now currently stands for Berlin, it's 3,000. For New York this year, it was also 3,000.
Yeah.
But I did get a lot of nice messages from my friends who I ran with last year, especially my dude Tyler, who I ended up pretty much pulling a Mike Falcone with and met him at the starting line. We ended up running the whole marathon together, which was a nice time.
That's great. But
he's like, are you running this year? I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. He's like, so we decided that because he's running London this coming year and I'm running Berlin. So in 2026, he and I are going to run New York again together because it's going to be the 50th then too. So the 55th. So yeah, we're going to run the 55th together. We're going to have a nice time. So I said, Tyler, you schedule me in for 2026. We're going to have a nice time.
Put it down. Yeah.
So yeah, it's a lot of fun. But yeah, if anyone wants any information on that, they're a great group of humans. Cannot recommend highly enough. So
amazing. Yeah. And I'll take down, obviously, at the end, I'll take down your social media and put it in the show notes too, so people know where to find you.
Yeah.
But yeah, what would you say, just looking back on all of these major marathon experiences and all your local marathon experiences, if you could boil down like one piece of advice to offer somebody who's maybe thinking about their first marathon, what advice would you offer someone like that?
I think just doing it is probably the hardest part. And just knowing that you're going to come away from it learning so much more about yourself than you knew when you started. And that I think the biggest thing, and I actually shared this on our Cape Cod Marathon questions that we like quick answered, because someone was like, advice would you give someone? And I think my biggest piece of advice is that you only get to do your first marathon once, and you should really try and enjoy it as much as you can. Again, flashing back like 5 or 10 whatever minutes ago, Juliana did play porta potty hopscotch during her first marathon. I hear what you're saying, Juliana. There's not all fun miles. I get you. I hear you. I see you, my friend. But a lot of that marathon is extremely positive. And there's a reason I kept coming back, because I was able to enjoy the marathon. And the more marathons that I do, the more I literally go out there, I'm like, I'm just here to have fun. I'm just here to enjoy the race, especially the bigger ones where you're essentially on an expedited foot tour of the city, which I really liked too. That's why it was kind of cool doing like Chicago and doing New York. And they close off streets they never close off any other time of the year. And you get these really cool views that you never get to see. Like, look up from the pavement. Like, look around. Take things in. The more that I actually take things in, the more I enjoy what's going on around me. And I mean, like, even just talk to other people. Even if you don't want to talk to her while you're running, talk to people at the starting line. When I was in Tokyo, I met this man named Andrew from Maine. And after you hear this, you'll be like, ah, yes, that's someone from Maine. He was telling me that he goes to the same cafe every day for breakfast. And he also is in his 70s, periodically dyes his beard different colors. And his longest training run, for the most part, is 7 to 8 miles. He runs all the World Marathon majors every year in yellow Crocs.
Oh my gosh, that's insane.
This was a wild human. And he said, I'm from Maine. And I said, This checks all makes out. Sense now.
Yeah.
All the pieces just clicked right crazy. On in.
Yeah, so, you never know who you're going to meet. Definitely talk to people. That's what's cool about the community. It's like runners like to talk about running. You're going to make a friend for sure.
Yeah. Now Andrew is my friend on Facebook, and he'll periodically check in with me and be like, hey, you're out of this big race. I'll be like, I was like, I'll see you in Berlin 2025. He's like, great, I'll see you there. So I might see my yellow Crocs friend
love
in 2025. So it'll be a nice time.
I love that. Yeah, that's great advice. Yeah, talk to people. Look, I love that you said look up from the pavement, because even more so, even not just the major marathons, obviously major marathons, you got all the energy around you, everything's so exciting, but like, you're exploring wherever you are. You're never going to get a chance to explore your wherever you are like that. It's so, so important to kind of get out of your own head and get out of your own pace goals sometimes and just enjoy running. Super important.
I mean, even like for the first time too, I mean, two things that stick out from my last marathon that I just ran, Glitch's Clarence Tamar, which is up in Keene, New Hampshire, which was fabulous. Very small race, about 500 people. Extremely well run, extremely well organized, scenic as all hell. Fabulous. Two things that stick out to me. One, me running, because again, I'm to the point where I'm like, I'm just here to have fun. And so I'm running along and I see a couple of people who like look like they're like around my pace, and I tuck into this guy, and he's like, I was like, I like your tattoos, and I'm talking to him, and I was talking to a few other people, and they're like, this is my first marathon. They're like, what pace are you running? I was like, your pace. I'm here to help. Like, whatever pace you guys are running at, that is the pace we are going at. Because like, I'm just here to have fun. And if it's more fun for you guys to talk to me, it's more fun for me to talk to you. We just keep that vibe going. And you don't get that if you stare at the pavement the whole time and you're just in your head the whole time. And the other thing that sticks out to me is there's this dam that's up in Keene, New Hampshire, that is between two mountains. And I literally like had to stop running in the middle of the dam and be like, wow.
just take it in.
It's one of those images that's now going to live rent free in my head forever, because it was stunning. Absolutely just stunning. And like, if you're in your head too much, you could have probably missed that in some way if you were stuck in your head and just like staring at the pavement. But I was like looking around, I was like, wow, look at these, wow. And I texted my friend who runs the ultra marathons. I was like, I get why you like running in the mountains of New Hampshire now. He's like, yes. I was like, it's very pretty. It's very pretty.
Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah, definitely. I mean, earlier this year, I've definitely fallen victim to the, like, I have a pace goal. Uh-huh. I need to put my head down and do what I came here to do. Trap. Mm-hmm. But I ran for the first time in DC. I went to a shakeout run and met a couple girls that day that were running their first half marathon the next day all by themselves. And I was like, no, we're not doing that. We're not running all by ourselves. We're friends now. We're at the same shakeout run.
Yeah.
So the next day I was like, goals out the window, we're gonna run together. And that was the most fun I've ever had on a race. Like, oh, so much fun. Party pace. It was just so much fun. So yeah, definitely recommend every once in a while. It's cool to have pace goals, of course. You want to prove that you can do hard things. But yeah, every once in a while, throw in a run for fun. Just enjoy yourself. Super important.
One of my friends just ran her PR in Berlin, actually. And she trained so hard. She did great. And she shaved like 20 minutes off her marathon time and got a BQ. And I was like, I'm so proud of you, Arne. That's great. But for me, I'm like, I don't really feel motivated to do that. Whereas like, I'm so much more motivated. Like, my ultimate, like, long-term goal for marathon running is I would like to be a guide for blind runners.
I've seen that. I saw clips of that for the New York City Marathon. I was 100% inspired by that as well. It's so cool.
Yeah. Because I'm very, I can be very consistent on my pace. Like, I can turn into a pretty good metronome, and I know that about myself.
Yeah.
And I also know that I don't know how to shut up. So I'm, like, a really good guide for someone who needs, like, a consistent pace and someone they will hear and know where they are the entire time.
Yeah, so cool. I hope you do that, because I saw that and I was so inspired by it. That would be super cool.
I've been trying to pick someone up for the Falmouth Road Race every year, but we just haven't had any blind runners yet. So
yeah,
the first, and I know the guy who does the adaptive athletes division. And so the second Matt gets like a blind runner, he's gonna I get the first.
You're first in line.
I'm first in line.
Yeah, I love it. So cool.
It'll be fun. It'll be exciting. And we're trying to expand our adaptive athletes division at the Cape Cod Marathon too. This year we had one person who ran with us, and we give them free entry. So if you'd like to come run the Cape Cod Marathon and you're an adaptive athlete, we'd love to have you. You get a free entry.
Just amazing. Saying,
if you listen to this podcast.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope some people find out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope so. It's a nice time.
Well, cool. Well, thanks so much for walking through all of that. First marathon experience sounds like it was pretty impactful for you, and you've just been able to accomplish so much over time, and sounds like kind of reframe your relationship with running too over time, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And there's a couple questions I like to ask at the end just to kind of wrap up here and get some input from you on some of your favorite things, especially you over the years. Have you liked for fuel? What fuel options have worked for you and that you've liked?
I've kind of just stuck with the Noon Endurance powder. Mm. They've made that, like, that's just been my go-to.
Which one do you like?
I usually get the citrus flavor.
Okay.
I think they only have one flavor.
I know it comes in the canister.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it only comes
exactly
in one
what
flavor.
You're talking about.
But like the tabs come in. I use the tabs too for just like day to day hydration, and those come in a lot of flavors. For those, yeah. Tropical is my favorite flavor of those. Thank you so much. But yeah, that's what I typically tend to use, and I'll actually mix in because I'll take water on the course, and then I'll take that like around like somewhere between mile 15 and mile like 16, my personal water bottle, and I'll usually mix in like one of those like just like caffeine drink mixes, like something with like caffeine, or I'll have like little caffeinated something with caffeine in it that I'll take at that point too. And honestly, the caffeine is just to mentally keep me mentally engaged for the last 10K sometimes, like with New York, I didn't really need the caffeine because it's sure. Just like I am an energy whore. Like if there's people yelling at me, like when I'm running, I yell back at people, and that like empowers me. Even when I'm just like running races, like running like long runs outside or like regular runs, I'll like high five people. Yeah, I'll be like, "Whoa, good job!" I'll give them high. I'll high five people while I'm running, just like in town, just like on a random day, any random day of the week. Like I'll high five people, I'll cheer them on. We do a fist pump. I do like a whoa. There's this little old man who runs near me, who runs down the street, and I see him some mornings, and he is so cute. Oh my god, he is my favorite, and. He is like, he must be at least 75, and he's just like plotting along. He has the biggest smile on his face, and every time I run by him, we give each other a high five, and it's the best. I have no idea what his name is, but I love him to bits and pieces, and he is so cute. And he's just out there having like such a nice time, like just kind of jogging along. I'm like, I love this man. He's great.
I love it.
So
yeah, total horrible like transition here, but shoes. What do you like for shoes?
Okay, so this is going to be a complicated answer because I used to work at a running shoe store, but I also am a big shoe nerd, and I actually mm-hmm. just got a new pair of shoes in the mail today.
Oh, because, perfect timing.
Yeah, I know. I got the Puma Fast R1s that just came in the mail today. Honestly, I think I have like a 10-shoe rotation going right now, and then I have like 6 more shoes for walking. So we have like our 6 walking shoes. So currently, like this morning, I just ran in the Metaspeed Sky Edge Paris. Sorry, the Metaspeed Edge Paris. Which is one of the carbon plated shoes. It's like good for long runs. I got them when I was working for ASICS for free, which is a nice time because it was like $250 and I would never pay that much money for it. The ones that I just got in the mail are also a carbon plated like racing shoe, but someone was selling them on Mercari for $60. And I said, that's a nice time. Those are completely unused.
Yeah.
And that's less than a regular pair of shoes. So we buy those. Plus I love a Puma. 10 out of 10. I will say I'm known in my running club as the shoe eating monster. And running with the weight of a 500-pound man. So I can destroy shoes at a rate that is ungodly. Like,
yeah.
Like I sent a text message to our running group. And I was like, has anyone ever seen their shoes do this? And like the bottom of my shoe was like shredded. And like everyone's like, Juliana, that's not okay. I was like, oh, okay. yeah. So right now we got the Nova Blast. We have the Noosa Tri 6. Well, Nova Blast 4, Noosa Tri 16, Metaspeed Edge. We're going to throw in the Puma Fast R1. I have a Puma Deviate 1 that I'm using, some Puma Deviate 2s that I'm using. We have the On Cloud Flow 4. We have, what else do I have? The 1080 V13. The Gel Kayano 29. I think that's everything. Oh, and the Magic Speed 3.
Yeah, you got quite the rotation.
Yeah, you know, I got shoes for moods. I got shoes for runs. I got shoes for feelings.
I love it. I love it. And one question I like to ask, I actually interviewed somebody earlier that also had a crazy shoe rotation. So I love that we're going to have these opinions back to back. But I like to ask, like for runners who maybe are not brand new, but maybe they ran a marathon before and they're looking into a shoe rotation. What's like the minimum shoe rotation you would recommend? Like shoe for speed, shoe for what would you recommend?
I would say like an absolute minimum 2. Because you just want to at least give your shoes time to breathe. So the foam to decompress more or less. I would say it depends on what distance you're running. I'd say ideally a minimum of 3. You want to have like one speed day shoe, probably something with a little bit less cushion. We'll say the Magic Speed 3, if you can get your hands on a pair of those bad boys, we give them a 10 out of 10 out of 10. And they are durable as all hell. Like I've taken those things up to 250 miles already, which is unheard of in my shoes. Like usually my shoes die at 100. Which is not good for my wallet, which is why we also look on Mercari and Poshmark for shoes, because it makes things a little bit more affordable.
Yeah,
but I would say like some kind of speed shoe. Just know what your preferences are for that. If you like a little bit more of a cushion, if you don't, I'd say like a good everyday trainer that you can run in, maybe something that's not super crazy. I know a lot of people like the Ghost. I'm not a Ghost fan. I'm someone who runs primarily on my toes, and there's like no cushion, absolutely no cushion in a Ghost at the front, because it has like an 11 millimeter drop. Mm-hmm. So you're like literally almost running on the road if you're a 4 foot runner in the Ghost. Not a fan of that personally, but if you're more of a heel striker, it's a great shoe for you to get started out in. So I know what, yeah, I like, but I think you have to know what you like. And I would highly recommend going to your local running shoe store and trying shoes on. And if your local running shoe store also offers like meetups and shoe demos and things like that, where you can go to a group run and try out a shoe that they have as part of their like demo fleet. So you show up and they're like, oh, we're testing like right now, maybe like the Nova Blast 5, which is coming out next month, or like the Glycerin Max that just came out.
Yeah.
So you can go there. They'll have a full lineup of all the sizes of the shoe that they're offering. And you can take it on the group run and decide like, hey, do I like this or not? And then if you like it, you can come back and you can purchase it. So it's so, I mean, obviously a sales tactic for the running shoe store and the brand, but it is really helpful. And all of those things are free. Like you can go into your running shoe store and you can get fitted for free. Did I used to get annoyed at those people? Yes. Do I do it myself? Yes. Am I going to go do that tomorrow with my friends who still work at the running shoe store? You better bet I'm going to go in there and also going to be like, I only want it in pink. And just be really annoying. I'm going to be really, really annoying.
Love it. So. Cool. And then last question is a group or a question from the audience. One comes from Instagram from @runningwithSadie. Thank you so much for the question. I'll make sure to tag you. And her question for you today is, what's your opinion on coming out too quick on race day?
Ooh, okay. As someone who is a certified negative splitter and also really thoroughly, especially in shorter races, enjoys passing all of the people who went out too quick and then faded and are either walking by 4 mile 1, which, you know, you went out a little bit too spicy if especially like when we ran the 7 mile race this past Sunday, and there were people who like I saw blast out in front of me and then were walking before we got to the mile one mark, and I was like, one, you were moving too fast to have that be part of like some kind of walk run thing that you were doing, and two, you look like you're in too much pain, and three, you still got 6 more miles after this. So let's get ourselves together. I would say just my thing when I'm running a race is I like to just get myself in a headspace of like, it's just another run. If I was by myself here, would I leave my apartment blasting out onto the streets? Like, would I like jump onto the streets and be like, whoa, like just like ready to go, like ripping it, like from the first mile, taking down pedestrians, just like taking out people on street. Like, would I be doing that? No, I wouldn't. So just like try and like get yourself back. I like to visualize myself just standing on my own street and just being like trying to get in that like headspace of like, okay, this is just another training run, and just zone out the other people around me if I can for that one moment. And just like for that first like 1 or 2 minutes that you're running, just like kind of let people go out, because the adrenaline will go out of your system after like the first like 1 or 2 minutes. And once you get past that and then you can get yourself to fall into a good rhythm, you're usually fine. But just try. I mean, if you want to and you feel like you can, go for it. But I would highly advise against blasting out the gate and going out too fast. And I think a lot of people make that mistake. Some people learn from it and some people don't. And that's a you problem and not a me problem. That's a you problem and not a shoe problem. Sometimes we go through because I wear a decent amount of shoes too. And I also like to test out new shoes. And I'm going to go test out some more new shoes tomorrow. It'll be a fun time. Because we just got new shoes in the store. And I got to go test them out. You know, I got to be up on those things.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's a shoe problem. Sometimes it's a you problem. And you just got to decide what it is. And if it's a you problem, you got to reflect on that and figure out what's going on.
Yeah. No, I love it. Yeah. Treat it like another training run. I think that's a great way to say it, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. Well, I think that is the last question I have for you. The only thing we have left is to just where can people find you so they can ask you all these awesome questions?
Yeah. I mean, if you have any questions, the best way to get in contact with me is my Instagram, which is @jellyanna, @jellyanna _runs on Instagram. And if you are into podcasts, which I'm assuming that you are because you're listening here, you can check out my podcast called Runna, RUNNAH, because that's how we pronounce it in Massachusetts, Runna. And it's more focused on the local running scene in Falmouth, Massachusetts, and Cape Cod, generally speaking, in New England. But if that is your shtick, and maybe you like just like my personality, maybe you like the sound of my dulcet tones, and you'd like to check that out. It also does have video because it's filmed in our local TV station, the Falmouth Community TV Station, because it's up on our local TV station as well, which is very exciting. But I'd love to have anyone who's interested in that come on over, and who knows, maybe you'll be a guest on my podcast at some point. We're only like 6 episodes in, and we're focusing on like the direct local community right now. But I have a long list of guests that I'm going to be getting around to, because, you know, having been very active in the community for not even super long, but like long enough, my guest list is like decently long of the people
I'm
that
sure.
I personally, not even the people who have volunteered their time to come on, but the people that I am going to seek out to come on. Never mind the people sure. who like actually want to volunteer to come on top of that.
Yeah.
So and I'm trying to do at least one podcast a week, and so far so good. So
cool. Well, nice sweet. Time. Yeah, if you want to send me over links for all that, I can make sure to put it in our show notes as well so that people can find you pretty easily there.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
But cool. Well, thank you so much again. This was awesome getting to know you a little bit and breaking down some marathon experiences. So appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning into another episode. If you're enjoying My First Marathon, it would mean the world to me if you could rate and review the show. And if you or someone you know has ran a marathon and would like to share your story, I have a guest form to fill out in my bio on Instagram. That username is @MyFirstMarathonPod. See you on the next one.